and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio for Friday, June 15th, 2012. We're talking about big ideas, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. It's good to be back in the studio. I've been away for a couple of weeks. Last week, I was at Fundraising Day, got about 10 interviews for the show, one of which we're going to listen to very shortly today. But great fun meeting everybody on the exhibit floor, got some sponsorship inquiries. Good to see everybody there. It's about 1,500 people at the conference and good busy booth we had on the exhibit floor. This week it is Motivate Your Board for Major Giving and Revisiting Your 2012 Prospect Plan. From last week's Fundraising Day conference, Jennifer Herring has advice on motivating, working with, and supporting your board to help them step up to their fundraising duties. She's president and CEO of the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk in Connecticut. And also revisiting your 2012 prospect plan, Maria Semple, our prospect research contributor and the prospect finder, does a mid-year check-in of her New Year's ideas on your 2012 prospect plan. That was back on our January 6th show. Have you hosted those cultivation events that she recommended and used them as prospect research tools? Do you have your free Google alerts set up? We'll recap a few of those ideas from January. And between the guests on Tony's Take Two, nearly 1,000 New York City charities lose their tax exemption. I'll explain what happened to their exempt status, and that's not limited to New York. You can use the hashtag NonprofitRadio to join the conversation on Twitter. And I very much hope that you were with me last week when it was Got Women Donors from last year's fundraising conference. And also Maria Semple was on last week sharing strategies for using LinkedIn. Right now we take a break, and when we return, I'll have the first of my interviews from Fundraising Day this year. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Money, time, happiness, success. Where's your breakthrough? Join me, Nora Simpson, as I bring you real-world tools for combining financial smarts with spiritual purpose. As a consultant to CEOs, I've helped produce clear, measurable financial results while expanding integrity, passion, and joy. Share my journey as we apply the science of achievement and the art of fulfillment to create breakthroughs for people across the world, the people of Creation Nation. Listen to Nora Simpson's Creation Nation Fridays at 12 noon Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back. It's time to motivate your board for major giving. This is the first of my interviews from the Fundraising Day conference hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals New York City chapter. It was just last Friday. So this is the first of the 10 that I got. Here's Motivate Your Board for Major Giving with Jennifer Herring.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of Fundraising Day 2012. We're in the heart of New York City in Times Square at the Marriott Marquis. My guest right now is Jennifer Herring. Jennifer is president and CEO of the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk, and her topic is Major Gifts 2.0, Straight Talk for your board. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tony.
I'm glad to have you, and thank you for taking time on a busy conference day.
A pleasure.
Why don't you acquaint listeners with the work of the Maritime Aquarium?
The Maritime Aquarium is a regional aquarium located in Fairfield County, Connecticut, that serves primarily Connecticut and Westchester, but the whole tri-state region. It's focused on Long Island Sound. In fact, it's the only aquarium focused on Long Island Sound. Our mission is to inspire people of all ages to appreciate Long Island Sound and protect it for future generations. We have a wonderful collection of Long Island Sound animals and a lot of ability to touch and directly experience animals. It's a very intimate aquarium.
Okay.
And we also have a very large education program that reaches out primarily to underserved students around the tri-state area.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there for going on 8 years now.
Okay.
As the CEO.
Okay, let's get into your seminar topic, Major Gifts 2.0, Straight Talk for your board. You're encouraging gift officers to be change agents around board fundraising. We'll have plenty of time for detail, but generally, what's the problem that you see?
I think that the challenge with boards is to keep them engaged. Getting them on the board is only step one. All fundraising, especially major gifts fundraising, is about personal relationships. And just like any friendship, a personal relationship needs to be cultivated and maintained on a continuous basis. So you can getting people on the board is the first challenge, and
right.
I'll talk a little bit about...
We want to talk a little about recruitment. We'll get
exactly.
there. Right.
But once they're on the board, keeping them engaged, challenging them with meaningful ways to be connected with your organization is an ongoing challenge, and the strategy behind that is something that the development officers can and should play a significant role in.
Okay. Let's talk a little about the recruitment. Of board members. How do we make plain what the fundraising expectations are at the recruitment stage?
Oh, I've done that for many, many years. There's always a conversation. You know, once you've met the person, cultivated the person enough so that you're at a position to have a conversation about whether they want to join your board. And of course, that person has to be somebody who's passionate about your mission and somebody who is going to bring something, either some expertise or capacity or preferably, or a network of contacts or preferably all three to the nexus of issues that the organization is dealing with.
So you've ensured that the person you're recruiting is bringing something, what one two or all three of those.
Absolutely, because of course the ideal board member brings wealth, wisdom, and work.
Okay.
And we want to engage all three. So you're having the conversation, and it's almost always a conversation, at least in my current job, between me,
right,
sometimes with another trustee, and the prospective person. And I just lay the expectations out on the table. Now, we have kind of a sliding scale of expectations depending on the capacity of the person.
Okay.
The board has voted. This is a small organization. It's about a $10.5 million budget.
And how many trustees are there?
There are at the moment 31.
Oh, that's large.
Could be.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of trustees, partly because in a cultural institution, being on the board or on a committee of the board is the only way you have a connection. There are no grateful patients. There are no alumni. You have to create a connection and keep it going.
Okay.
And the board is a very important way to do that. So, getting back to the recruitment conversation,
right.
I always put a specific number on the table. And it can be as little as the minimum annual gift that the board has voted should be the minimum, which is $2,500. Often I will say, cite a larger annual gift if I know the person has more capacity,
right.
Plus either giving giving or selling a table to the gala. And then we've been in a campaign mode for the last 5 years. I usually say, you know, once you've gotten involved and been a member and really gotten connected, we will be coming to talk to you about a major gift.
Okay. And that first number, that's an annual number?
That's an annual number.
Right. Okay. So you're very clear about the expectations. Do you do this in writing and let the person take it home, to take it to their office and consider it? Or this is really all verbal?
Well, what we give them in writing, we don't give them the expectation in writing.
Okay.
We give them the role of the board, you know, what our expectations of them are in terms of their responsibilities and what they can expect of us in terms of responsibilities. We give them a lot of background material about the organization. We let them see who their colleagues on the board would be. We give them a board list. But we don't have, you know, a pledge form that they have to sign beforehand. We figure that the verbal conversation is enough, and then we solicit them at year end or calendar year or fiscal year end. We have a June 30th fiscal year for what we've talked about.
All right. Now you have a new board member. They've accepted based on the expectations. What does board training look like for brand new board members around fundraising?
Well, we don't have a really formal training process.
Maybe it's on the job. Maybe they go on other calls. But they go on calls with others. Or
what we mostly do, we have a pretty elaborate committee structure, one of which is a campaign committee, but a marketing committee, a finance committee, a education committee, and exhibits committee. So we use those committees to get them connected with the meat and the program of the organization. We use the gala committee very actively to engage people in soliciting tables for the gala. That's in some ways the easiest kind of fundraising to do because it's very transactional. Mm-hmm. Then there's a certain small cadre of leadership volunteers who have made major gifts and who are in powerful positions in the board that I work with personally to develop specific ask strategies that they participate in to go on fundraising calls with
so
me.
So there is some, that's sort of on the job, I would call.
So it's on the job training because I've found, I've worked at now four nonprofits and in none of them has there ever been, you know, you get the whole board together and you have a little fundraising training thing. We tried to do that actually in a retreat in 2008, the week that the stock market was falling apart when we were about to launch our campaign, and had a little role-playing about how you ask. But that...
Contrived, right?
It's quite
everybody
contrived.
It was staged.
It's quite contrived.
That's my experience.
And I've found that it's much better to work directly with a person who's agreed to go on a call with you. And what I do is write a script for that person, and I do it for myself too, about, you know, what the objective is, how much we're going to ask for, what the background is, the background research, the relationship with the person to the organization, and then what each of us is going to say.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Money, time, happiness, success. Where's your breakthrough? Join me, Nora Simpson, as I bring you real-world tools for combining financial smarts with spiritual purpose. As a consultant to CEOs, I've helped produce clear, measurable financial results while expanding integrity, passion, and joy. Share my journey as we apply the science of achievement and the art of fulfillment to create breakthroughs for people across the world, the people of Creation Nation. Listen to Nora Simpson's Creation Nation Fridays at 12 noon Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm Ken Berger of Charity Navigator, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%.
So do you actually rehearse? Since you have a script, do you practice the meeting in advance?
I practice myself. I mean, I sit in my office and speak the script.
Yeah.
And I often will have a telephone call with the person who's going with me to go over it. And they use these scripts. They work really well to shape the conversation. And, you know, it's sort of various whose mouth the actual ask is going to come out of. It most often comes out of my mouth, even if we're going with a peer. But it doesn't matter, really, because the presence of the peer there makes all the difference.
Right. And why don't you say a word about that for people who may not recognize what's the value of having someone alongside with you who's a peer of the person you're soliciting?
So having somebody who's involved, who's already made a major gift, who's giving their time and treasure to the organization, validates the organization for the person that you're asking the money for, and sets a bar for what they're doing, especially if it's a trustee, because the trustees are supposed to be the ones who care the most, who are the most invested, mm-hmm. and therefore need to be the biggest investors in the organization. And somebody on the outside of the organization is always looking to how much trustees are doing and how much in particular that the trustee who's asking has done to help scale their level of gift thinking. So here's an example. Actually, this isn't a trustee. As somebody whose son is a trustee and who I've tried to get to be a trustee for years, has taken on the project of raising money for a new research vessel, which is a $2.5 million project. He's in the shipping industry. He's very passionate about it. He co-chairs the committee. He brought in the person who's project managing the project, who's built many boats. Mm-hmm. He helped move us to the decision away from retrofitting an old boat to building a new boat from scratch. He agreed to raise the money. He gave a $500,000 lead gift. And I took him to see a prospect that's been in our family at about the $10,000 level for a number of years, who we honored at our gala, who we've cultivated pretty thoroughly, and whose connection to the aquarium was around our existing research vessel. Okay. So we went and sat with them right before Christmas in their kitchen, and the gentleman who's leading this project talked about it very passionately, talked about what he's done. In that instance, the actual ask came out of my mouth. We left them with materials. But then the leader, the head of this effort, played golf with the prospect in Florida, continued to cultivate him on his own separately from anything that the institution was doing, and this gentleman stepped up with a $500,000 gift.
Oh, matching the lead gift for the project.
Matching the lead gift.
Outstanding.
So it was a long cultivation effort, probably going on for 5 years before we got to the critical moment where we found the right project that connected to this person's passion. And I'm sure that the fact that he was being solicited by somebody else who had made a gift at that level was one of the things that determined
his...
I mean, this is somebody with a lot of capacity who's named things all over town.
And then this also speaks to the value of the long-term relationships that you mentioned. Now, that may not have been a long-term relationship, but it was the beginning of a relationship between those two.
Between those two, absolutely.
Yeah,
and there is the long-term relationship with the institution. I mean, this gentleman, the person who made the $500,000 gift had been involved with the institution for at least 5 years.
Sure. But between these two people,
right,
a developing relationship.
Correct.
See each other as peers.
Right.
And makes it tougher for the person solicited to refuse.
The other thing, usually, is that when you're going to have a solicitation call, the person that you're soliciting knows why you're coming to see them. It's not a surprise.
Right. They certainly should. We don't want to be blindsiding people. We want them to know.
Right. I mean, you basically set up the meeting in a way that says, I want to come and talk to you about this project or this campaign, or so that they know what it is. And if they don't want to be solicited, they won't take the meeting, mostly.
Right. Let's talk about the role of the professional fundraiser mm-hmm. in supporting board fundraising? What do you see as the role? Well, acquaint people with the structure at the aquarium. Do you have a vice president or director of development?
Yes.
And then there are some gift officers?
We have a very small development office. We have a highly experienced director of development who's been doing university development, heading university development departments for 30 years.
All right.
We have a person who does foundations and a lot of the patron program and various other many aspects of fundraising, is sort of the director of the annual fund, but he's also doing major gifts, so it's not very...
Okay.
Everybody does
typical of a small shop.
We have a person who does the galas and corporate fundraising. We have a person who does membership and the acknowledgement of gifts and some fulfillment of patron-level gifts, which is $1,000 for us. We don't have very many patrons. And that person has an assistant. So it's basically five people, and there are other things that are being done out of this department
Who is the liaison to the board for fundraising? I assume it's the director of development.
And to some degree, the person who manages the gala, because the board is so involved in the gala. So, and also the person, I would say that there are three of our gift officers that have relationships, not with every board member, but with some board members.
And then since your topic is major gifts,
right?
What's the support that the director of development probably is the one providing to the board around major gift efforts?
Well, the director of development is mostly providing support to me around major gift activities, and that's possibly because I have such a strong fundraising background as a CEO. I mean, that's what I've been, my career has been for 30 years. So we talk about strategy. He identifies prospects, does the research. He does a lot of personal cultivation with these people, too. So he makes friends with them. He talks about his travels, their travels. He fixes them up with theater tickets. He does things that just brings them closer to the organization. He's very active in working with the board on small, intimate cultivation dinners.
So that's something you ask board members to do?
We ask board members
host events in their homes.
Not in our home.
Okay.
We host them right in front of our biggest exhibit, which is a shark tank.
Excellent. Yeah.
So you're having dinner with a shark swimming around in this elegant table. There's a maximum of 20 of you. There's some interesting intellectual guest, either a professor from Yale or the principal of our partner school that's closing the achievement gap or somebody like that. You're there with a bunch of peers that the board members bring to the table. And that's part of the cultivation effort that's proven very successful and really important in moving people into major gift relationships with us.
Yeah. Okay. What do we do with or for board members who have a reluctance to do fundraising? Now, even going back to the bringing them on the board, the recruitment. If they express a reluctance, they have skills that you need, and they're willing to do their own giving, maybe at a much higher level than the $2,500 minimum, but they have a reluctance to be asking people for money. What can they be doing around fundraising?
We just don't bother with them because we don't have time, frankly.
Oh, you wouldn't accept that kind of a board member?
No, we just leave them alone to do what they're doing.
Okay.
And don't try to make them do something they can't do.
But even if they can't ask, they're not comfortable asking, they could, for instance, host an event.
So we're constantly trying to get people to bring their friends to our events, our exhibit openings, introduce people to us. And every year when we have a board retreat, all the people there pledge that they will do that. And every year, only a few of them do it. We're definitely working very hard to get board members to agree to host or co-host these small dinners, our Shark Tank dinners, and bring...
Oh, that's great. They're called Shark Tank dinners?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, yeah. I just read something online that if there was one drop of blood in 1 million drops of blood or something like that,
a shark can sense it from a quarter mile.
Yeah. Was that on NPR's website or something?
It could be, but that's something that one of our education programs demonstrates to kids. It's
really?
Very interesting how they do it with a little drop of tomato juice being diluted and diluted and diluted, and they figure out when they can't taste it. And
okay.
Yeah.
So your Shark Tank dinners.
So we're constantly trying to get board members to bring their peers to Shark Tank dinners, which is very difficult to do, and only a few of them are really able to leverage those kinds of relationships. It's, you know, we have, in some ways, a naive board. This is not New York City, and this is not New York City fundraising with the kind of power boards that I've worked with at the New York Public Library and the Wildlife Conservation Society. It's a very different kind of board. Maybe many of these people are board members for the first time. Some of them are, you know, business people, maybe in the upper middle management of a bank, and they don't have the kind of reach into rich people community that that is common in New York. On the other hand, Fairfield County has a huge amount of hedge fund wealth and a huge amount of maritime wealth, although in this economy that's less than it was. And we are getting more and more of those kinds of people on our board who do have a network and are able to bring us, at least to get this, us in a room with them.
Okay.
Then
okay.
the challenge becomes how to convince a sector that is more and more about venture philanthropy that has measurable impact, that there's something for them at the Maritime Aquarium.
Yeah. Well, we want to stick to the board fundraising topic, but I know that impact and outcome assessment is
huge.
Very important for lots of charities, and it is a struggle for cultural institutions to do that, although it sounds like maybe around your education initiative.
We are able to do that around our education initiatives in some very interesting ways about closing the achievement gap. And one of our trustees made a very strategic gift to us that allowed us to do a case study about a partner school that we're working with and what impact our partnership has had in their achievement, their rise in achievement, a school that's almost all inner city kids.
Jennifer, we have just about a minute left, and I want to talk a little about the case for support and analyzing that case for support.
Right.
Again, in just a minute or so, what's your advice around scrutinizing that?
You need a strong case for support. You need your board to be able to deliver it in an elevator speech so that they can be great ambassadors for you. The case for support is what's going to make people give. They have to understand that you have to teach them through your case for support that you are an institution that can help them change the world, that they can change the world through your institution and get the joy and satisfaction of doing that through their philanthropy.
The elevator speech for board members, do you help them write it, rehearse it?
Yes.
Do you talk about what
yes.
should be in it?
We have definitely done that, and we've done it in various ways. But the elevator speech should have a certain set of statistics, and I've actually gone so far as to take a business card and write them out that they can keep in their pocket, those statistics. But the elevator speech also has to connect to the passions of the board member so that they can talk about the institution in a way that communicates the passion that they bring to it.
So every board member doesn't have the same elevator speech?
No, every board member doesn't and shouldn't have the same elevator speech.
Excellent advice. Okay. It goes to what moves them the most.
What moves them.
Right. We have to leave it there.
Well, thank you so much, Tony.
My pleasure. Jennifer Herring is president and CEO of the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk in Norwalk, Connecticut. Pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me, Jennifer.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony.
This is Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of Fundraising Day 2012, the Marriott Marquis, hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals, New York City chapter.
My thanks again to the folks at Fundraising Day and Jennifer Herring. Right now we take a break, and when we return, Tony's take two, and then it'll be Maria Semple revisiting your 2012 prospect plan, so hang around.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. It's time for Tony's Take Two on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. My blog this week is nearly 1,000 New York City charities lose tax exemption. The New York City Department of Finance revoked the property tax exemption from 925 city-based charities because they failed to demonstrate a legitimate charitable purpose. They lost their property exemption for property that they own. And as I say in the blog, something similar to that was reported in the New York Times last year, and the blog post has a link to that coverage. I think the lessons for charities are you need to stay true to the charitable mission that got you the IRS's designation of tax exempt, however many years ago that was. And in the case of one of the charities cited that you'll see in the blog from New York City, that was like 1934. But now, obviously, New York City is challenging that. So you need to stay true to that charitable mission that got you that original tax-exempt designation. And I think also you need to stay in compliance with state and local regulations and laws, because I could see compliance being linked to keeping your tax advantage at the state and local level. And that's all we're talking about. We're not talking about federal tax exemption. These were this is all state and local tax advantages. Also want to remind you, well, that's on the blog, and my blog is at tonymartinetti.com, and that's this week's post. I also want you to remember that we have a LinkedIn group, and on the LinkedIn group, you can tell me what you have as ideas for future shows or give me feedback on previous guests. Whatever you'd like to say, please check us out on LinkedIn. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, June 15th, the 24th show of the year. The year is almost half over. How is that possible? Maria Semple, I know you're air, right?
I am here.
Hello, Maria Semple.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Maria is the Prospect Finder, and she's an experienced trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her website is theprospectfinder.com. Her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. And most importantly, she's our regular prospect research contributor. And this month, we're revisiting the 2012 Prospect Plan. Maria, from the January 6th show, you had some ideas back then.
I did, absolutely. So I came up with kind of a list of things that people could do, and I thought it would be a good idea to revisit it now that we are, hard to believe, midpoint in the year of 2012 already.
I know.
Not to revisit the entire show, but some of the tips that we had we'd brought to the table at that point. We were talking about, you know, prospecting from within your database and kind of mining that database and tips for how you can keep up with some of your top prospects. But we also talked about proactively identifying people outside the database, mm-hmm. and bringing them into your organization to learn more about your missions and
right by hosting some cultivation events.
Right. So we did, you know, talk about cultivation events. My suggestion had been to, in the first 3 months of the year, really trying to identify people from within the database and proactively identify people outside your database that you might invite to some cultivation events, and then try and hold those events in second quarter. So let's assume that people may have taken our advice and done some of that.
Hosted one or two cultivation events. But if not, we have some lessons, or we have some ideas to get started.
The year's not over, absolutely.
Right. It's only half.
So you can still, you know, implement all of these and just think about shifting these tips into second half of the year.
And it's even, we have even more than half. I mean, this is only the 24th, so 50 seconds have passed. So what is that?
That's right,
12, 26, and then, oh, it goes down even further. six eighths? Oh, it goes even further. All right, well, you have more than half the year left.
Yeah, just a little over half the year. So all's not lost. But anyway, let's talk about some of those tips that we had talked about. We mentioned identifying maybe the within your database, who were those top 10 to 20 gifts that you'd received in the past year, and also your top 10 prospects in terms of lifetime giving to your organization. And, you know, inviting those people to attend a cultivation event. Now, you know, sometimes people refer to these as parlor events, you know, whatever terminology you want to use. The event can be held at your facility if you have a facility you want to showcase, or outside in somebody's home. So in particular, if you have somebody you're affiliated with your board or another volunteer who's willing to open up their home, particularly if they have a lovely home and really the setting would work very nicely for a small, intimate gathering. The key to remember here is there's no ask at that event, right?
Or, so you know, really it could also be on-site. You might have a very interesting place for people to gather.
Right.
On site. I in the interview that everybody heard earlier in this show, Jennifer Herring is president of the Maritime Aquarium at Norwalk in Connecticut, and they like to host things in front of their shark tank.
Right.
So it could be a small gathering if you have a small shark.
Right.
Or maybe you have a gecko or, you know, a hamster. You could host a small group in front of a little aquarium with, you know, 8 or 12 people watching the hamster go around in a wheel. I mean,
that's
could
right.
be compelling.
Yes, yeah, certainly if you have a facility that lends itself well to that type of gathering, that's great. I attended something recently at the Liberty Science Center here in Jersey City in New Jersey, and it was a fabulous event. And so, you know, just get creative and think about what would draw people in. Is it the space? Is it the person's home? And the key is to really be able to stick to the time frame that you tell people it will be, particularly if you're going to do it around some sort of a breakfast event. People need to get on with their day. It can be a little bit more lax if it's an end-of-the-day event. But from a prospecting or a prospect research point of view, you want to think about, while you're attending that event, listen in for, you know, some of the general interests. Now, you know, I'm assuming that a lot of the people that are listening to this show may be from a smaller to mid-sized nonprofit. So the person taking on the role of prospect researcher is either the executive director, is the development director, maybe a communications director. Whoever that person is that also does some prospect research at the organization should be in attendance at this event with the sole purpose, really, to do a little bit of intelligence gathering.
Yeah, okay? you want to be making sure that people are that staff. If you do have multiple staff, you don't want them huddled together over in the side of the room, even if it's just two or three of you. You know,
right.
Huddled in a corner chatting, or all seated at the same table if there are multiple tables. That's a big mistake. You're not going to be out talking to people as much as you could be.
Right. So this is an opportunity for you to showcase your nonprofit, but also to elicit a lot of wonderful information that, quite frankly, in a lot of instances, you may just not be able to find this information online. So what type of information might that be that you'd want to elicit as wearing your prospect research hat?
Okay.
So just general interests. Just engage the person in conversation and be a good listener. That is just so very key, just to really put your listening ears on.
And we have talked about that in the past.
Right.
The radical listening.
radical listening.
Which came from a previous guest, Melanie Schnoll-Begun, and then you picked up on radical listening and recommended it as a prospect research vehicle.
Right. So a cultivation event is a great place for you to become a radical listener. So general interests that they have, any family information that you can gather. Sometimes there might be information about children, ages of children. So just to get kind of get an idea of where they are, at what point in their lives that they're at. Are they, you know, more of a planned giving prospect for you, or are they really just starting out in their lives, their careers, and have very young children?
You want to be genuinely interested in their lives and
right.
and what it is about your work that that appeals to them.
Right. And one way to find out about that is, well, obviously to directly ask them, but it's also interesting to try and gather where else they're volunteering their time. You know, what other charities are they particularly interested in?
Yeah.
So that you can try and figure out, well, gee, does, you know, the programming and the services that we offer, does it align at all with what this family has in terms of their general charitable interests? So in the case of the Maritime Museum, they might be thinking about, you know, trying to find out what, you know, where else these people are spending their time. Are they interested in other maybe water conservation efforts, other charities that really address water quality in the Long Island Sound, you know, things of that nature. And so for sure you'll know that you're on the right track in engaging this person in additional conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that might be a great way to find out where they and their spouse volunteer their time.
Yeah.
Also, vacationing. You know, this is a great opportunity for you to say, so, you know, do you have any exciting vacation plans for this summer? So, you know, be listening for responses like, yeah, we'll be spending, you know, the entire month of August in our home in the Hamptons.
Right, right.
You know, things
valuable.
Of that nature.
Yep, good to know.
So,
right.
You know, just to generally find out what type of, if they say, no, we're doing the staycation thing this year, you know, pick up on that cue. And then really, really important, this circles back to something we talked about in the January show, is to be able to really create some sort of contact reports and capturing critical information that you've been able to glean from these cultivation events.
Right. Now,
so you've got to have a great donor database.
Right. Now, back in January, we talked about, we encouraged, I think it was the 11% that didn't have a computer database to look at the cloud packages that are available, and you went into detail on that in the January 6th show. So hopefully some of those people have converted to computer databases.
And if they're still in the sort of in the shopping phase, I'll just remind them real quickly of the two websites that might be something for them to check out that might give them some additional info on what's available out there. Idealware.org had an article about how to select a database. And TechSoup.org is a good place to find some low-cost and free tech advice. So, you know, check those out if you're still in shopping mode. And I truly believe that cloud-based is the way to go. It's just going to give your staff and your board the most flexibility.
Yeah, and then your point about saving that valuable information that you learn at a cultivation
right.
event in that computer database, or if you're not computerized yet, I guess, you know, you print up a contact report and put it in a person's folder.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, it's really important, like, just like you don't want that staff to be all congregating together in the corner, it's going to be very important after the event, post-event, very quickly thereafter, within a day or two, to have a debriefing, if it's not a meeting, get a conference call going. You know, there's these free conference services out there. There's no reason why you can't just say, you know, knowing in advance the date of the event, let's say it's a Thursday evening, by Friday midday, you could be having a conference call and have that scheduled way in advance that you're going to have a debriefing call. You know, what were the important points somebody found out from speaking with some of the people? And you may want to actually pre-assign people, right? So if we know in advance that Mr. Big Bucks is going to be there, why not do a little pre-advanced research on him and find out a little bit of information so that a board member can be assigned to perhaps be the person to, you know, just have a discussion, and you can even try and figure out who the best board person would be. that you'd want to make sure
right,
is assigned
right.
to cultivating okay. that individual during the event.
Maria, we're going to take a break. I want to emphasize before we do one thing that you said, which is in terms of inviting people, look at donors who have been giving for the lifetime, large donors over their lifetime. So individual gifts may not be so large, but their giving history over their lifetime with your organization is quite large. Those are also good people to invite. We're going to take a break, and Maria Semple will still be with me after that break, and I hope you will too.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at TalkingAlternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Carol Ward from the Body Mind Wellness Program. Listen to my show for ideas and information to help you live a healthier life in body, mind, and spirit. You'll hear from terrific guests who are experts in the areas of health, wellness, and creativity. So join me every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkingAlternative.com. Professionals serving community.
Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens, and how to make it better. Because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi there, and welcome back. We're revisiting your 2012 prospect plan with Maria Semple. Maria, just to wrap up that topic on cultivation events, was there anything more you wanted to say about that before we get to one of the other topics from January?
I would just say in terms of pre- and post-cultivation event, there are a couple of websites that you might want to bookmark to be able to do some of that general research on an individual that might be attending or might have attended an event. I outlined some of these in the Going Beyond Google article that I have on my website. And maybe what I'll do, Tony, is after the show, go ahead into your LinkedIn page as well as your LinkedIn group as well as your Facebook group and post there about where they can find that exactly. But it's
okay.
prospectfinder.com, and it's on the resources page.
Okay.
So some of those things that you can do is obviously run the person's name through Google. Now, the big tip with Google is that you want to put quotation marks around a person's name so that you're finding their name as a phrase in
right.
Google.
Right.
So certainly you can do that. You can set up Google alerts, again, on those top 10 donors. We had recommended back in January that you look at those top donors that you have in your database and set up an alert on their name. That's free. Google will push the information to you so you can find out if something new is happening, especially in somebody's business career.
Now, last time we talked about alerts, I think you had set one on me, or we talked about something and you used me as an example. It was lousy results. Maybe
well,
it was a wealth
you know,
indicator. Was that wealth indicator?
What's interesting about setting up Google...
So stop using me as an example.
Right, Google and Google Alerts is if you... Google Plus now is actually influencing, and we talked about that on one of your shows, it's influencing your search results.
Right.
So if you are on Google Plus and you are logged into Google, the results are actually going to be skewed more toward social results. So if you're doing this purely as a prospect researcher, you may want to actually log out of Google, your Google Plus account, before commencing your prospect research, just as a tip. I think you might get a little bit more of objective results, if you will. It's not going to be so much skewed toward just the social sector,
right.
Social media sphere.
You had examples of other alerts that people could set beyond the free Google alerts, which are outstanding. I use them a lot for my work.
Right.
But you had some examples of others.
Specific newspaper alerts. A lot of the newspapers out there permit you to set up alerts on specific phrases. The news sources in your state. Here I track, in New Jersey, I track NJBiz. They send me daily alerts of just generally what's going on in the business community. I get those alerts twice a day here in New Jersey, so that's something you'll want to consider looking into. What is that publication that covers your state? It might present some interesting opportunities for you because they tend to not only highlight, you know, negative news that's going on, but also some real positive news.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the fee-based services that some of your listeners may be currently subscribed to for doing foundation research is called foundationsearch.com. And as a paid subscriber, one of the things that you have access to is a new foundation alert service. So if you are subscribed to that service, definitely set up the alert for yourself. They'll let you know anytime a new foundation is formed and registered with the IRS in your state or whatever states you decide to set up as, you know, the alert service. And so you'll be pushed the information through email. Then you can check it out a little bit further. So.
We can set these alerts up not only for individuals, but companies and foundations.
That's right. Yep, you can definitely do that as well. Companies and foundations, you want to set up those alerts. So, you know, whatever it is that you're looking to track, for certain you'll want to set up the alert there. LinkedIn is a great place to research somebody pre and post an event. Also, they have free alerts that you can set up within LinkedIn. So let's say you're always... prospecting for somebody who holds a specific, in a certain industry, let's say the accounting industry or something like that, and you want to always be notified anytime somebody new joins LinkedIn who's in the accounting field and also happens to be within a certain radius of your zip code, you can set those types of alerts up. Up to three of them, actually, under a free LinkedIn account. So take advantage of that and have LinkedIn push the information to you.
Maria, is that using the advanced search in LinkedIn?
Yeah. You can do the advanced search page to do the search initially, and then once you set those, you see those search results, you can actually save that search, and you're allowed to save up to three searches. So
okay.
It's particularly useful.
Okay. So the cultivation events, the alerts, I've calculated now the year is 6/13 of the way through. So you have 7/13 remaining to take advantage of these ideas that Maria originally recommended back in January. But don't feel bad. Maria, we have just about 30 seconds left. What do you want to leave people with in this mid-year check-in, this revisiting of the prospect plan?
I think it's really just the idea of getting proactive and get in there, delve into your database, proactively try and mine it, proactively look for people who are outside of the database that you need to bring in and learn about your organization, and really help them, steward them along so that they will feed new names into your organization and be willing to host their own cultivation events.
Maria Semple, you'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. Our regular contributor. Maria, pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you very much. We'll catch you next month. And my thanks again, of course, to Jennifer Herring and the folks at AFP for letting me be on the exhibit floor last week at Fundraising Day in New York City. Next week, what happened in 2011? We'll recap the year's fundraising with Bob Evans of Giving USA and returning Rob Mitchell, the CEO of Atlas of Giving. We'll compare and contrast their two methods and what their findings are for last year's fundraising. Also, Scott Kegler, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, returns with Going Mobile. He and I will talk about mobile apps and your mobile website. A few weeks ago on Tony's Take Two, I talked about my core beliefs that charities need to do better and that they deserve the help that they need. Lynette Singleton from Singleton Consulting Group is a good friend to this show, and she's a frequent retweeter of the show on Twitter, and she's offering the help that charities need. She's hosting a 90-minute webinar on marketing on Thursday, June 21st. You'll learn what marketing really is and how it can help your nonprofit, how to position your nonprofit, conduct a marketing and communications audit, and develop a marketing plan to achieve your goals. I've talked to Lynette, and she's a smart lady, and you'll learn a lot from this webinar. Nonprofit radio listeners get $25 off registration. Use the discount code NONPROFITRADIO. That's two words. It's on Thursday, June 21st at 2:30 Eastern, and you register at scg4nonprofits.net, scg4nonprofits.net, to register for Lynette Singleton's marketing webinar. You can keep up with us on the Facebook page. Like us on that page. You know where to find us live and archive. Nonprofitradio.net is for the archive. That's our Apple page, our Apple iTunes page. The show's hashtag is Nonprofit Radio on Twitter. Use it often. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is the line producer. The show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. I hope you'll be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
How's your game? Want to improve your performance, focus, and motivation? Then you need Aspire Athletic Consulting. Stop second-guessing yourself. Move your game to the next level. Bring back the fun of the sport. Help your child build confidence and self-esteem through sports. Contact Dale at Aspire Athletic Consulting for a free 15-minute power session to get unstuck today. Your greatest athletic performance is just a phone call away at 801-604-0294 or visit aspireconsulting.vpweb. Motivational coaching for athletic excellence. Aspire to greatness.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. for Love in the Afternoon with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. With distinguished authors, industry gurus, and experts on everything from wine to fashion, join us as we discuss dating, relationships, and more on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.